Hola, soy Mateo Bajamich. Les quería mandar un saludo muy grande a Soccer Matters y les mando un abrazo muy grande.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented as always by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Quick word here for Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. They've got 18 TVs, big screens, tremendous food out there as well. It is the home of the Houston Liverpool Supporters Club. It is Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway. They got a nice outdoor patio as well. They do the steak night. You know it. They do it. Go over there and say hello to Peter and Dave. It's Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway. Absolutely gorgeous pub. All right, part two now with Romeo Josak.
All right, so that gap, though, I'm assuming that Croatians, your top players at 16, 17, they begin to mix with men, right?
Yeah, well, obviously, biologically, you've got to be able to keep up, right? You can't push them too early. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, in the team, there's a couple of criteria for any soccer environment to develop a player. There's always a talented player, talented coach, a good program that you got to have in order to actually, you know, make that happen. But there's a competitive environment that has to be within the team. So if there's one player standing out in one given team, that's not going to be good. Subconsciously, you know, he gets soaked in. He doesn't get the pressure subconsciously that he should be getting. And, you know, even though he gets drafted by the Houston Dynamo or LA Galaxy, you know, they have the league that's going to be having the, you know, competitive pressure against them. And on the average level, all around the States, it's very hard to have, on the average, you know, such a competitive environment in all the teams or in all the leagues where these players are playing. And that's why more and more, you know, a lot of these players are flying. Just recently, one player from U15s from Red Bull in New York just came to Dinamo Zagreb Academy, and he's playing starting 11 in the U15 here, and he's an American citizen. And listen, I can't quite be sure if he's going to be making a pro career here in Europe, but 100%, if the injury is going to be avoiding him, you know, he'll be coming back to the MLS and easily play there because he's going to be in this, what I'm saying, competitive environment the next 3-4 years as he didn't have that right there. So I'm going to try to, by me getting there, not bringing the kids here, I want to offer my, let's say, experience and expertise and knowledge to actually create those competitive environments for the kids over there. So try to develop in the States and keep them in the States as much as we can.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Romeo, what's going to be the end game? And by the way, Blast FC is out of Ohio, and that's where Les Shkreli has been, and that's where Romeo Josak will be joining Les Shkreli, Blast FC Soccer Academy. He'll be the CEO and club director. Les, he'll continue on as the director of coaching. You know, what is the end game for your players? Is it MLS out of the Blast Club, or is it potentially taking a few to Europe? Is it potentially selling some? You know, how do you set the bar there with people? Because maybe the end game for some is college. Maybe the end game for some, you know, is not going to be college or the professional game.
You'll come up with the answer yourself. You know, it depends. I mean, I've been the sporting director of the club and an academy director. I've been through all these levels, and primarily, obviously, me going to the States, I just, you know, seeing what I've seen in the last 25 years and working professionally with the youth players, in Croatia, we couldn't afford losing a single talent because we have 100,000 players and overall in the country, right? So there's been, you know, you got to flip every rock to find the talent, and when you get it, you got to really, you know, worship it. You got to really praise it and develop it in the best possible way. So the same thing in the States. I've seen a lot of raw talent, and I'm kind of feeling sorry when I see the kids with the unbelievable agility, skills, sense for the play, aggressiveness, all these skills that are important, what I said with the bandage right over the heads, trying to fight, you know, they're going to be, and you were right yourself when you said it, is it going to be a scholarship? Is it going to be MLS? Primarily, obvious, you want to keep them there in the States. If something exceptionally happens, obvious, we're going to move them around. But as I said, I'm partnering with the Blast right now. I will physically not be there myself. I'm going to be sending my coaches, my people. I'm still pursuing my professional career as a coach or a sporting director. But yeah, with my let's say influence, I'm going to be making sure, trying to make sure that those players get a proper chance.
Okay, before we move on to your personal situation when it comes to potentially coaching and being a sporting director in the United States, Romeo, just take me a little bit into you know, your opinion, your thoughts, your judgment on the Major League Soccer Academy so far. And I know they vary from market to market, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I've been 3 years ago, I've been approached by the LA Galaxy to be there was a talk, potential talk of me getting being a head coach of a second team and academy director of the Galaxy. And then right in the middle of these talks, the opportunity for me to be the head coach of Legia Warsaw and Poland came along, and I took it. So that never happened. But I'm quite familiar. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of academy directors in the States, and I'm thinking it's picking up. It's getting more and more. Now, for me to answer this question really in detail, I would have to really know. I know quite a few academies. I know Paul, the academy director from Houston Dynamo. He's a good friend of mine. I know they're doing an exceptional job with Tom Beyer from Japan, together pushing the soccer starts at home philosophy, having the good coaches, a couple other academies around. I'm getting really with the Toronto FC. Those guys are really passionately going deep inside. I can't quite know like what's happening in every single academy in the States, but overall, I'm thinking the potentially the problems. Just quickly again, you know, it's not going to be about the player itself. You know, the talented player, first of all, we have to analyze and go and specifically go in detail what are the criteria for somebody being a talented player, right? And we said it's not only about the skills, it's about everything, and it's about this passion from the inside, about the personality. But let's say we have a talented player, as I've seen many in the States, right? You have to have a good program. And it's not wisdom nowadays to have a good program. A lot of people bring in programs, good schools, good academies. But there's, you know, good coaches. Now, what is a good coach? You know, what are the criteria for the good coach? Is it a license only? You know, is it only the A pro license you got to have in order to be a coach? I've seen many doctors with the same diploma from the same medical universities, and there's always one doctor, two doctors you go to when you have a problem with the knee. Everybody's talking about this doctor, not about all of them, even though they all have same diplomas, right? So there's something more to the quality of the coaching. So in these academies, you know, are we having the personality of the competitor in the academy that working with the U8 kids competing right there, or you want to have the animator that working with these kids? So in this academy, I think people can put all these things together, but I'm just going to go quickly to the thing that I already said. Getting to the puberty, roughly 15, 16, 17, the kids have to be exposed to the competitive environment. And it's not going to be easy for the U.S. academies to actually bring all good kids, so there's going to be an average quality of the talent in each team, 15, 16, 17, 18, and so on. And then never mind them playing in a similar league where they're going to be exposed to the same competitive environment. So if they overcome those problems, there's a huge potential. But again, so much talent, so much, you know, people, you know, Croatians, Serbians, Hispanic people from South coming from Europe, people coming in. I'm thinking, I said it millions of times in interviews here in Europe, you know, if the U.S. really gets serious, you know, they're going to be a soccer strength in the world in the future, 100%.
Romeo Josak joining us here, former technical director of Croatian football. Well, it is a fine time for the U.S. soccer player. I mean, it's pretty unprecedented right now with the players playing at top clubs around the world and the amount of players that are in Europe now and the attention that the American player is getting. So it may be trending towards these next couple of World Cups and potentially great performances, including the one that will be hosted in the U.S. in 2026. I want to go on to you now, though. You were a finalist for the sporting director job at Seattle that was vacated by Chris Henderson, who went to Inter Miami. Talk to me. Sporting director, head coach, where is your direction really right now? And, you know, which would you prefer maybe is I guess what I would say.
I would obviously I've been having all these serious walls myself, and the opportunity came along. I got a phone call from Garth Lagerwey, the president of the Seattle side, and we had two interviews officially formally. And to be honest with you, I got really warmed up because that's what I felt. I got information, I got a feeling from the club. They're really deeply interested in developing their own players, which they were lacking according to themselves, right? And I was really, you know, getting warmed up. The only little thing I'm regretting that we had this, you know, interview that really went into detail and that I expressed and exposed all the little, you know, things and details of the player development. I told them all that, what I meant and thought. It was really, you know, like going for 2 hours, like really deeply, you know, people writing, people talking, and all of a sudden they said, okay, we're going to move along. Thank you very much. And I was honestly a bit surprised. But I wished him all the best, and I was all the luck. I was kind of thinking that would be something significant. You know, when I said to them, and when a couple of journalists, your colleague, asked me, I want to be one of the first Europeans making a huge impact over there with the players. you ask me, sporting director or the head coach for the U.S., getting over there to get to know completely the environment, the players and everything, I wouldn't mind getting as a sporting director, but as I said, depending on the opportunity. But we'll see. But that was something close to, let's say, getting serious.
Romeo Josak joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN. We appreciate him being on tonight. I just carry you a little bit further into your coaching career, because you were a head coach at Legia Warsaw in Poland. You were the Kuwaiti national team coach. How did those two experiences, which I'm sure were very, very different, kind of shape your coaching career as well?
I mean, 20 years. Well, I started as a coach, as a young coach, as a head coach of a second team in Dinamo, and as you said yourself, assistant coach of the first team. And then I was in Libya, the head coach of youth national teams. And I was academy director working in UEFA, FIFA, and all these, you know, governing roles as a director. And then a couple of years ago, you know, I felt fire from deep inside. And I said, listen to myself, you know, I had a good reputation. I still have here in Europe for everything we did in Dinamo in Croatia, and those jobs came along as an opportunities. Legia Warsaw, the biggest club of Poland, it was a huge experience. It was a huge experience, huge scene, huge exposure for me. Something what I adored for 1 year, little less than 1 year, I stayed there. It's an enormously big club. It's religious for the Polish people. After that, national team Kuwait, different mentality, different culture. You know, everybody praised their own national team. Kuwaiti people are crazy about their national team, and nobody can, you know, blame them for that. Maybe a bit of the expectations, you know, Europe is Europe, and let's not be, you know, fooling ourselves. Europe is really a couple of peers above everybody still all around, especially Asia. A couple of national teams over there, Japan, South Korea, Iran, Australia, they're keeping up and keeping up with the pace with Europe. But the rest are still struggling a bit. Kuwait is, let's say, one level below all those big ones. Huge experience. Been there for a year and a half, and getting to know a different mentality. I've been running the national team, the men's national team, and the U23 Olympic national team as well, and together with my coaches that I brought along with me. Huge experience. But as I say, you're age 48 or 49 years of age, and still pushing around. MLS is potentially as an option. I did get quite a few phone calls with the potential inquiries back and forth. I'm not saying it's going to be a definite destination, but you say never say never. We'll see how this is going to unfold.
Well, Romeo, listen, very insightful interview. Thank you very much for coming on. I know my listeners have enjoyed this interview. A lot of great insight on a lot of different fronts from you. Let's do it again in the future. We'll stay in touch. And again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule coming on from Croatia tonight.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Wish you all the best and your listeners.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters tonight here on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, do construction, you got to call the Daspit Law Firm. And you got to get John at 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm, the Daspit Law Firm, will bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Big thank you tonight, as always, to Aaron Raybould, producing. And to all of you who tuned in tonight, don't forget, you get the podcast of this show now at ESPN975.com, ESPN975.com, or on Spotify or iTunes. Until next Tuesday night, on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
ESPN 97.5.